Good evening, everybody. We're watching America First. My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes. We have a great show for you tonight. Very excited to be back with you here tonight on Wednesday for another amazing show. There is a lot to talk about in the news today. And I have to tell you, it's very good to be back on the show and not watch a debate. I am very excited to be back doing the show that is not debate related, that I do not have to sit through 2 hours of Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. I don't know if you guys were here yesterday. I don't know how many of you watching the show tonight tuned in last night for, like, what was it, the 10,000th, 500th Democratic debate that they've had in the last year, because it was miserable. It was painful. If you watched it, you know, I try to be professional. I try to do a clean, serious show, but sometimes that's not possible. So it was pretty rough evening yesterday. You know, if you didn't watch it, you didn't really miss anything if you have seen any of the other debates that have taken place in the last 7 months, because it was the same. But we have a good show for you tonight. We're back into the swing of things. Imminent conflict. That is the subject of tonight's show. My favorite thing in the world, you know. That's why they call me Neocon Nick, I guess. Because whenever I see the headlines talking about imminent conflict, whether it's international or domestic, I start to feel optimistic. I start to feel optimistic about the lemon count, about the viewer count. The America First hate-filled gremlin rubs his hands together, his mouth dripping with blood, bloodthirsty for more conflict, more news to cover on the show. Of course, I'm kidding. Of course, that is a lighthearted joke. I don't love that conflict happens in the world, but when it does, it just so happens that I have something to talk about on the show, and people like to watch the show. So the featured story for tonight is about what's happening in Virginia. We covered this on America First, like, last month. Yeah, I want to say it was middle of December that we covered this, maybe 3 to 4 weeks ago, what is happening currently in Virginia with regard to gun control. So we covered this in December, and this situation has been unfolding for like a year now. But basically what happened in Virginia is that the Democrats completely took control of the state government. They won the state Senate, the House of Delegates, the governorship, the Secretary of State. They control the whole apparatus in Virginia. And in November in particular, this is when they consolidated control over the government. What they're trying to do now that the Democrats have taken power in Virginia is they're pushing very aggressively for a semi-automatic weapons ban. And unlike other states where this has happened or other states where this has been discussed, they've been very militant about their approach. Governor Ralph Northam, he's the guy with the blackface, by the way, somehow still in office. I guess that's a topic for another show. But the governor in Virginia said that basically, if people do not go along with the semi-automatic weapons ban, that they will have people going door to door confiscating guns. In response to a lot of this big push for gun control by the government, different sheriffs and counties in Virginia have said that they will resist laws that violate the Second Amendment, even if they pass the state legislature. So in other words, the sheriffs, the local governments in Virginia have said that if a semi-automatic weapons ban, for example, comes down in the House of Delegates, in the Senate, signed by the governor, they will not enforce it. They will resist the government, and they have declared their counties gun-free, or rather, not gun-free. They've called them Second Amendment sanctuaries. Second Amendment sanctuaries. And so that means, basically, that the Second Amendment has sanctuary in the county. It is going to be protected by the sheriff or the local government. In response to that development, the governor, Ralph Northam, said that he would have the National Guard go in and arrest anybody who stands in the way of this law being passed. So it's getting very heated. It's getting very tense. And the news this week, there's two developments about this situation, which, as I said, is getting quite heated. Tensions are rising. You could say that it certainly is tense out there, right? And the two developments this week are that West Virginia has announced that they didn't really announce, they more reaffirmed that counties in Virginia can secede from Virginia and join West Virginia. And it's interesting because in all the news reports that I read about this, it didn't address the connection between the gun control laws in Virginia and this bill that passed in the West Virginia Senate that says that counties in Virginia can secede and join West Virginia. None of the articles I saw mentioned that, but of course we all know that they're only talking about that because West Virginia thinks that maybe some of these Second Amendment sanctuary counties will leave Virginia and join West Virginia, which would be uncharted territory for the United States. I don't think this kind of thing has happened since, like, the Civil War, right? West Virginia was created out of Virginia. It seceded from Virginia when Virginia became part of the Confederacy. So, I mean, this is unprecedented stuff, uncharted waters, at least in contemporary history. So that's development number one. Development number two is there's supposed to be a big pro-gun rally on Monday at the state capitol in Virginia. Governor Ralph Northam just today declared a state of emergency. He said that, quote, white nationalist groups and militias are going to do violence to the state capitol, try and kill people, do, I don't know, some kind of an attack. Who knows? I mean, he said that there's intelligence behind this. I'm sure that's a lie. So he said that he got word that something was going to go down at this big protest on Monday, so he declared a state of emergency and said that they're banning all guns from this protest. There's supposed to be something like 60,000 people that have said they're going to come on Facebook, which even if a fraction of that amount of people comes, will be a huge rally. A huge rally about guns in the state capital of West Virginia under the same Virginia governorship that Charlottesville took place under. So, seems like things have a lot of potential to get out of control, which is not necessarily the worst thing in the world. But that's our main story. That's what we're going to talk about, just sort of setting the scene for you here, setting the stage. We're also going to talk tonight about the trade deal with China. This was in the news today. I think we talked about this 2 weeks ago on America First, or maybe last week. But a first phase trade deal has been signed by the president and a delegation from China at the White House today. And we'll go over what's in that and where the trade war's headed. But those will be our two main stories for tonight. Very exciting, you know, things are happening, which is good. Because for a long time, it was just like a little boring. I remember all throughout December, this is why I was so eager to see, like, conflict with Iran. Because December was so fucking boring. Okay, sorry for the language, but seriously, it was like every day was a struggle to find, like, anything to talk about. And then we kill the general, and then, oh, I don't know, it could be another Iraq. Like, I mean, that would be a bad thing for the country, but it would, you know, but it would be interesting. So, it's good that things are finally happening. Once again, 2020, off to an interesting start. Trade deals, civil war, you know, if we can't get World War III imminently, maybe we will get a civil war imminently. Maybe that's the white pill, right? I'm kidding. These are all jokes. I'm being ironic. And if you're a baby boomer, you're struggling to comprehend this, these are jokes. But before we dive into any of that, we have some great news, by the way. I saw this afternoon, Joker-related news. I told you on Monday about how Joker is, like, going to win all the Oscars, and that's great. And it grossed $1 billion and whatever. But it's also coming back to theaters. Coming back to theaters for 1 week only. So if you didn't get to see it in theaters, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing with your life. I don't know who you are. Why are you watching this show? Why are you watching this show if you didn't see it already in the theaters? I don't know what's wrong with you. What's wrong with you? So if you didn't get a chance to see it yet, it's coming back on Friday. It'll be back in theaters for a week. But, I mean, even if you have seen it, we got to get these numbers up, okay? I've seen it 7 times in theaters. I'm going to try and go at least one more time, but hopefully maybe every day this week. We'll see. It's at 4 o'clock, so I don't know if I can swing that with the show. I'll have to see how the timing works out on that. If it's, you know, 15 minutes of preview, 2-hour runtime, that's, you know, 15 minutes to get back to my house. I mean, we're cutting it kind of close. So maybe I'll just see it 4 times on the weekend, you know, 2 times at 4 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday, and 2 times at 10:20, also on Saturday and Sunday, you know, so I'll have to figure that out, but we get another chance. It's, I don't know, that's sort of a slight, subtle white pill for all of us. You know, the Oscar thing was cool, but I saw also a lot of people pointed out that it's also kind of lame, because that means that, like, Hollywood pedophiles like Joker, and how do we feel about that as a people? As clowns, you know, we are all clowns. How do we feel about that as a people if pedophiles love our movie? If Hollywood Jews and pedophiles, you know, not everyone in Hollywood's Jewish, but I mean mostly, How do we feel if they love that movie too and they're giving it all these awards and Joaquin Phoenix is like saving the trees or something? So this is like a much cleaner victory. It's a much cleaner white pill. It just means that we get to see the movie again. So I'm excited for that. I'm also no longer sick. I feel almost 100%, so that's good. And then one last thing before we dive in. Excuse me. Just some housekeeping things. So on Monday, I told you guys to save all your money, save all the tips for the end. Because I told you on Monday that the technology is different going from YouTube to DLive. The donations don't accumulate on DLive so that I can read all of them at the end. It only displays like five at a time, you know, so if people make five donations and then a sixth one comes in, well, the first one gets bumped off the activity feed and I can't see it. I can't read the message, you know, so there goes Super Chats. But we had that problem on Monday. A friend of the show, friend, fan of the show, Zoomer Coder, sent me an email. He made something with his computer that tracks all the donations. So feel free to send in Ninjaginis, Diamonds, Ninjets, if you're feeling generous. Anything like that throughout the show, and I will see it and I will read through it at the end of the show. Because I told you on Monday, save them for the end. I'll have to read them as they come in. Tonight, you can send them whenever you'd like. Send them in, and I will be able to read all of them at the end like we do with these Super Chats. And I don't know, should I read Diamonds or should I just read Ninjaginis and Up? Diamonds like a dollar, so... You know, do I read for $1.20? We were talking on America First about raising the minimum from two to like five. And if I read Diamonds, that means we're now lowering the minimum from one, or rather from two to one. So, but a diamond is 10. So I, or rather a Ninjagini is 10. Diamond is one, Ninjagini is 10. So it's, they don't really leave us a lot of room in the middle here. A five would be nice if they had something between a diamond and a Ninjagini, maybe like a Ninja Civic, a Ninja Corolla, you know, something like that, Ninja bicycle, scooter, that could be a $5 one. So I don't know. I guess I'll just read everything. I guess I'll just read Diamonds, Ninjaginis, and Ninjets at the end. But anyway, that's just a small little housekeeping thing. I also updated the About section of my channel. So if you click the About tab, under the window that I'm occupying right now, you can see I made it all nice. We've got images posted, links and everything, just like it is on YouTube. So we're getting comfortable in the transition here. We're getting comfortable. The About thing's set up. The diamonds are set up. The moderators are there. They're going to ban you if you make fun of the intro music. That's not allowed, actually. I'll have to put that in the rules on one of the in one of the sections in my About tab there. You know, rule number one, do not make fun of the music. Do not counter-signal the lobby music. So things are going well. So the show has transitioned nicely to DLive. And just one last reminder, next week, America First hopefully will be back on YouTube, but it will remain on DLive too. I will be multi-streaming next week. Hopefully I'll be back on YouTube, but I will still stream here. So we'll get both. That way I can build up my audience here in case I do get banned soon. You know, it's going to happen inevitably, but in case I get banned, like, imminently. So, anyway. So just so you know all of that. But we're going to dive in here to our current events. I guess we'll start with the trade deal. You know, this stuff is pretty dry, I have to tell you. When it comes to Asia, for whatever reason, you guys just aren't interested. You know, message received. Every time I do a show about North Korea or China or anything like that, you guys don't watch. You guys don't like that. I don't know why. To me, it's fascinating stuff. It's geopolitics. A lot's going on. There's a lot of interesting things, and it's going to matter. It matters now. It's going to matter in the future. But whenever I talk about, like, China, North Korea, you guys are like, no, I don't want to hear anything about that. But we're going to talk about it anyway. I don't care if you don't want to hear it. It is important, and we need to talk about it. Can't all just be immigration and Israel, okay? Can't just be the two pillars of the show, the two eyes of America First, immigration and Israel all day long. Sometimes we got to mix it up a little. We have to have our broccoli as well as the Big Mac, right? We are broccoli heads. So we're going to dive in here. I'll try and make it as exciting as possible. So we have a trade deal with China. I talked about this before. I think I left for vacation at the end of 2019. 2019 feels like 2 weeks ago, right? So long ago. So the Chinese trade deal, we have a first, a phase one, first phase trade agreement. And this is just like a framework of like a broader deal. It really doesn't mean very much. It's sort of like a prelude of things to come. I'll read you the report about this from Fox News, which I think spells out pretty nicely everything that's involved. All the provisions, all the details, concessions, things like that. It says President Trump signed a landmark trade agreement with China, heralding a period of detente and a trade war between the world's two largest economies, fueled by decades of complaints that Beijing was manipulating its currency and stealing trade secrets from American firms. The pact, detailed in a 94-page document, is only the initial phase of a broader deal that Trump has said may come in as many as three sections. So we could possibly get, you know, phase two, phase three deal. You know, who knows? Who knows how many sections? It's a very complicated dynamic between China and the United States. It says the agreement will help grow the U.S. economy in 2020 and 2021 by, quote, at least a half a point of additional GDP and probably translate into another million jobs on top of what we've already done. And that's according to Larry Kudlow, the director of the National Economic Council. The agreement, which was first reported on December 12th, includes commitments from Beijing to halt intellectual property theft, refrain from currency manipulation, cooperate in financial services, and purchase more than $200 billion of U.S. products over the next 2 years. The purchases will include up to $50 billion of U.S. agriculture, $40 billion of which has been confirmed by Chinese sources. So the 50 is according to U.S. sources, 40 of that has been confirmed by China. China will also buy $40 billion in services, $50 billion in energy, and $75 to $80 billion worth of manufacturing. Leitzinger, who negotiated the deal, said the deal is, quote, fully enforceable if Beijing fails to live up to its end of the agreement, and the pact includes mechanisms for handling violations of intellectual property rights. Its dispute resolution process will allow either side to appeal if it believes the other side is, quote, not acting in accordance with the agreement. So, you know, to me, the agreement looks kind of interesting right now. There has been some sanctions relief in exchange for the investment. Largely what we're getting from this deal is the commitment on currency manipulation, on intellectual property theft, and then these purchases. And this kind of makes sense for a phase one deal. The purchases to me is probably the most important part, or I think rather that that's the most important part. Because at this stage in the game, especially gearing up for the 2020 election, the big question, and this was brought up in the Democratic debate last night, is about relief for farmers and other people that have been hurt by the trade war. You know, obviously, Trump is going to be campaigning and he's going to need a lot of these agricultural states, particularly in the Midwest, but also elsewhere. And if you look at like soybeans as an example, which is huge in like North Dakota and in other states. This is an industry which has been hurt very badly by the trade war because China, which is traditionally a big consumer of U.S. agriculture, has not been buying as much product because of the trade war. So although there has been a agriculture relief package passed by the president, we've taken some of the dividends that we've earned from the tariffs. You know, a tariff is a tax. We've taken the revenue from the tariffs and directed that towards a farming relief bill. People are still hurting, you know, in like Iowa, other places. So I see the phase one deal as really, you know, I hate to say it, but like four-dimensional chess, that we use these purchases to basically buy off the farmers in the short term. We resume these big purchases. We get a little bit of relief, I'm assuming, on intellectual property and currency manipulation. Can't imagine that's going to like stop tomorrow, but we get some kind of a commitment on that. But really, the dollars and cents, the concrete part of it is the purchases, which will help Trump electorally. And, you know, who knows, maybe that like builds trust with the delegation in the United States. But we did give up some of the tariff relief. So that's the other part of it. I'll continue reading here from this report. It says, quote, the document specifies that both China and the U.S. shall ensure fair and equitable market access, specific measures that will protect pharmaceutical firms' intellectual property, govern patents, block counterfeiting on e-commerce platforms, and prevent exports of brand name knockoffs are detailed. In return, the U.S. will reduce tariffs on products made in China, but keep duties the White House has imposed on $375 billion worth of merchandise. Following the phase one signing, $250 billion of Chinese imports will still be subject to a 25% tariff, and $125 billion of Chinese goods will be under a 7.5% tariff. So we still have significant tariffs, $250 billion subject to a 25% tariff. That constitutes about half of the trade that we do with China in terms of imports. And then 125 is like a quarter that's subject to 7.5%. So you've got something like, what would that be? Like three quarters of the trade that we do with China is still subject to tariffs of some kind. But of course, that does mean that the existing tariffs are lessened, and it means that more tariffs will not come into place and tariffs will not be increased, you know? So that in itself is a concession. That might seem like, you know, of course, if they're coming down, of course, it doesn't mean they're going up. But that they're not going up, that the tariffs are not expanding, to me seems like a concession in itself. Because we had committed, if you remember this from back in December, we had made a commitment to raise tariffs in January and expand them. And then that was halted in December pending the signing of this agreement. So kind of a big concession that we're halting the trade war a little bit with the tariffs. And then the last part of this thing, it says from Steve Mnuchin, he says, quote, these tariffs will stay in place until there's a phase two. If the president gets a phase two quickly, he'll consider releasing tariffs as part of phase two. If not, there won't be any tariff relief. It has nothing to do with the election or anything else. So that's the agreement. You know, my position on trade from the beginning has been basically that the new normal should be tariffs. This has always been my take, you know, so stop me if you've heard this. Forgive me if you've heard this before. Don't stop me. Don't interrupt me. I'm talking right now. Don't interrupt me. This is a good take. But you might have heard this before. The new normal must be tariffs. The new normal for the country, normal, the status quo, must be trade barriers, must be a nationalistic trade policy, aggressive, constantly negotiating, constantly angling. So I don't know what like a three-part trade deal looks like. In some sense, if we can get China to come down on currency manipulation, intellectual property theft, a lot of these things, that we would be better off, obviously, if they change their behavior. But here's my problem with this whole process. Number one, what exactly does the enforcement mechanism look like? What I read from this report here is that really all you have is dispute resolution, not really enforcement. Dispute resolution is not enforcement. You know, what they say is enforcement is that if we feel that they're stealing our intellectual property, well, like, we can take it up with their delegation. And if their delegation disagrees, well, then they can submit an appeal. That's dispute resolution, which is different. You know, if we have a dispute with another country, that doesn't mean that we have any way to force them to change their behavior. I mean, we could put tariffs back on. We could go back to the way it was a month ago and raise tariffs and expand them and so on. But doesn't that then kind of defeat the point of the deal? If it's like a little bit of cheating destroys the deal and everybody's going back to before, then you don't really have like a flexible and adaptable bill. Now, maybe they gave the wrong impression of this in this report here, but that's sort of what I'm gleaning from what is written about this, that all you really have is dispute resolution. It's like, well, if you have a problem, talk to us. Well, that kind of goes without saying, doesn't it? Well, if they're violating the terms of the deal, well, we can always tell them you're violating the terms of the deal. Okay, but then what then? There should be a provision that says, well, if there's one strike, then we put tariffs, you know, or if we catch them doing something, then that constitutes a red line and, you know, there's this penalty. You know, that would make sense. But I don't see anything in the way of enforcement. So that's problem number one is, if we build up a three-part agreement and all you have is dispute resolution, well, who's to say that China's not just going to start doing what they were doing before? It behooves them. They have become the second biggest economy in the world by doing all these things, by stealing our intellectual property, by putting up non-tariff trade barriers, but also tariff trade barriers, manipulating their currency. It's worked out very well for them. This is like a life or death thing for them. It's probably the most powerful tool in their arsenal, these economic manipulation tools. So why would they simply give that up? Because we tariff them for like a year? Who's to say that in 1 year they're not just going to revert back to their old behavior? And then there's no enforcement mechanism. You know, we could say that maybe it would work if Donald Trump were president forever and the Chinese knew, you know, Xi Jinping is going to be president until he dies and there was rapport And Xi Jinping knew that if he violated the deal, then Trump was going to put tariffs back on, and there was like a mutual trust and respect and rapport. But maybe Trump's not going to be president next year, and maybe Joe Biden's going to be president. And is Joe Biden going to initiate a trade war? Is Joe Biden going to slap back on tariffs on $500 billion worth of goods at a rate of 25%? I don't think so. You know, so in that way, if we're putting up this deal, who's to say it's really going to work in the long run? Other than maybe in the short run, we get more purchases from China and maybe short-term relief, but it doesn't seem to me like a lasting solution anyway. My other big objection is, what's wrong with tariffs? What's wrong with punishing China? China is, in the long term, probably the biggest geopolitical threat to the United States. In terms of, like, a great power, we're talking, like, categorically, in this category, China is our biggest threat. I think the number one threat is demographics, foreign subversion, international elites, things like that, to me, are probably going to be worse. Divorce, feminism, I mean, these are like an existential threat to the world, to the universe. But in terms of great power adversaries on the geopolitical level, it's definitely China. And so if we can punish China and at the same time enrich our country, why would we not be doing that? Why are we racing to finish a deal so that we could resume buying things that we can make in America from China? How does that make any sense? You know, right now, because of this trade war, either manufacturers or other people are forced to leave China and go to our allies in the Pacific, like Vietnam or other countries, and our allies are getting rich, countries that are going to listen to us, and, you know, they're not building islands and things like that. They're not trying to construct some kind of counter-American world order. So either the factories are going to our allies that like us, or we could build the stuff in our country. Why do we have to stop the tariffs so that the manufacturers can go back to China? That doesn't really make a lot of sense, does it? You know, so to me, it's not even like a trade war. It's almost like we should just construct these trade barriers to remain. And maybe it doesn't have to be adversarial or anything like that. And maybe it doesn't have to be $550 billion worth of goods, but in some capacity, we have to be protecting our own country. It doesn't make any sense to me that we're racing back towards the way things were. That it's almost like we just put up trade barriers for leverage so that we could then take them down, but they have more utility than just leverage and getting a deal. They should remain because they protect our workers, they protect our manufacturers, and they also hurt China's economic development. You know, China is growing as an economy, and when China's economy grows, they're investing in these technologies of the future, like artificial intelligence and quantum computing and robotics and missile technology and all these things, and that translates into military power. Military power translates into a much stronger posture. China becomes a regional hegemon. That means that American global hegemony is challenged. Why would we allow them to continue that process? You know, why would we let up on the pressure? If the situation was reversed, do you think China would be buying stuff from us while we steadily grow more powerful to challenge their, you know, hegemony in the world, their control of world affairs? I don't think they would be as merciful. I don't think that would be their trajectory, but it seems like that's what it is for us. Now, all that being said, this administration is obviously like a miraculous improvement over what came before. You know, like the last two and three administrations didn't really even see that China was a threat, didn't recognize it as such, didn't acknowledge it. You know, this was like a partisan issue in 2016 that Democrats said, you know, China's no big deal and so on. There's a great article actually written about this, I think by, what is it, Peter Thiel or something, but basically saying that, you know, this is one area where Donald Trump was the only one in 2016 sounding the alarm about China. And very quietly, but very quickly, now everybody in politics is a China hawk. You know, Democrats, Republicans, people inside, people outside, they all recognize a threat. And that's because Trump was just right, and the people that were in power for 30 years were wrong. So all of that said, you know, it's a good thing, you know, if we could get them to agree on currency manipulation, it's a good thing if we could get them to the table and resume purchases and things like that. But I question what, like, the long-term strategy is, because if the long-term goal is eliminating all the trade barriers, to me, that is not where we should be headed. Where we should be headed is getting our Federal Reserve and our Treasury and our trade policy set so that we could make our economy start to grow and reindustrialize our country and all that. Not make it so that, you know, China can continue the abuses, or, you know, even without the abuses, continue growing at our expense. So that's a China trade deal. That has always been my position on this. But I guess we'll have to see what happens. I'm not obviously, I don't think it's extremely likely that we're going to like button up trade with China. If you remember how this trade war reignited, phase two of the trade war really started like last March. We had basically put together a pretty solid framework for a deal. I don't know if you remember this, but Trump went to the G20 summit, I think, in Buenos Aires, and he met with the Chinese delegation. And the Chinese delegation made huge promises that were like unbelievable. That's what Trump said. And so they were negotiating this deal for months and months. And then in March, the United States sent over a draft agreement. China looked it over, sent it back, and like crossed out all their concessions and said, oh, never mind. We don't agree to that. And so after that happened last March, then Trump said, okay, we'll just raise tariffs on everything. We'll just tariff everything and it'll be 15 and 25%. You know, and so in December, they agreed that they would stop raising tariffs, stop expanding the tariffs, because China came back to the table. So I would not be surprised if phase two or phase three, it got totally derailed just like it did last year. But I do question the end game. So that's the China phase one agreement. But we are going to move on now to the exciting things. Okay, boring broccoli moment is over. You know, now we get to talk about the fun stuff, which is the imminent civil war in Virginia. Very epic, very Keno. And I got to tell you, it's always great fodder for the titles for these videos. You know, all last week, World War III imminent, question mark? Iran general murdered, World War III imminent? You know, that was last week. And now this week I could say, West Virginia, mass gun confiscation, Civil War II imminent? Ralph Northam, door-to-door gun confiscation tomorrow. Civil war happening now. I mean, that's the art. That's one of these business secrets that they don't teach you in college. But so this is what's happening in Virginia. I basically spelled out the backdrop for this at the top of the show. But just to reiterate, if you have not been following what's happening in Virginia, this is happening. This has been happening for about a year, that the Democrats in Virginia, in the state capital, have been pushing really, really hard for gun control. The Democrats recently, in November, won control of everything in the Virginia state government. They won the state Senate, the House of Delegates, which is like the lower chamber. They won the governorship, the deputy governorship, I think the Secretary of State. So they've got everything. And Governor Ralph Northam, who, you know, he has led the party to great triumphs in Virginia, he has credited their victory to their support for gun control. He says that the reason that they won in the Senate, in the House of Delegates, and all the executive offices is because of Democrat support for gun control, because there was a few mass shootings in Virginia in recent years. And so because of that, he's been pushing gun control very strongly, you know, to fulfill his campaign promises. He promised to do a semi-automatic weapons ban. And he said things like going door to door, confiscating firearms. And then I talked about this at the top of the show. What has made this a little bit different from other states is that sheriffs and other municipal government officials in different counties in Virginia have said that if Governor Ralph Northam, if the state Senate, if the House of Delegates, if they pass gun control laws that violate the Second Amendment, they will not enforce those laws. They will resist the laws. The police will resist them, will not enforce them. The sheriff will not enforce them because the sheriff is elected locally. And in response to that, Governor Ralph Northam said he would get the National Guard to then seize the guns and arrest anybody that stands in the way. So this has caused a huge outcry in Virginia from Second Amendment people, from conservatives. They started calling themselves Second Amendment sanctuaries in all these different counties where they said they would not enforce. And so basically you've got this sort of soft, like, civil conflict happening in Virginia between the state government that is pushing so strongly for the semi-automatic weapons ban, and that, among other things, by the way, and all these counties that are saying that they will resist. And notice it's also not just like interest groups like, you know, for example, like Second Amendment groups or gun rights groups. It's not just like the NRA, it's the governments. It's the municipal governments, it's the sheriffs, it's the police departments. That makes it very different. So it's sort of like the soft civil war now between the state capital and all these municipal governments in the county. And they're sort of negotiating with threats, essentially, of disorder, what is going to come in terms of gun control in the state. So the two big developments that have happened this week are a rally that is set to happen on Monday, and then also an offer that has been made by West Virginia. So I'll read you, this is a report about the rally on Monday. It says, quote, "Fearing potential violence, Virginia Governor Ralph Northam is declaring a state of emergency and is banning firearms and other weapons on the Capitol grounds in Richmond ahead of a gun rights demonstration planned for next week." Northam said during a press conference, quote, "We have received credible intelligence from our law enforcement agencies. There are groups with malicious plans for the rally that is planned for Monday." Yeah, I'm sure that's totally legitimate. It says, "Gun rights supporters are preparing to converge on Richmond for a lobbying day and a rally Monday morning. They're opposed to efforts by Virginia Democrats who have just taken over control of the Virginia legislature following the November elections to pass a slate of gun control bills backed by Northam. The event hosted by Virginia Citizens Defense League is expected to draw thousands of armed demonstrators, some from out of state. Organizers have said they hope to hold a peaceful event." So things could very easily spiral out of control. As I said, what I've heard is that something like 60,000 people have said they're going to be interested in going. I believe this is from a Facebook page. So typically, if 60,000 people commit to going, maybe you'll get a third of that or a tenth of that. But in any case, if it's a third, that's 20,000 people showing up. If it's a tenth, that's 6,000 people showing up. That's a lot of people. Moreover, I think the number of people is amplified by the fact that they'll probably be bringing firearms, you know, that they'll probably be showing up with guns. So maybe 6,000 people without guns is, I mean, that would still be a big deal, but it's not 60,000. But 6,000 people carrying semi-automatic weapons, rifles at the state capitol, well, that's a different story. So you're going to have thousands of people, you know, we don't know if it's going to be 60 or 6 or 10 or whatever, but thousands of people be converging on the state capitol in Richmond to protest gun control. Ralph Northam has said that they are not allowed to bring firearms, and we will see if people agree to that or not. I have to say it's very concerning how this is shaping up. What I've seen a layout of what the demonstration is going to look like. The government has released a map of where the demonstration is like licensed to be held. It's going to be on the state capitol grounds. I guess there will be barricades surrounding the perimeter of the state capitol grounds. There will be one entrance and four exits for potentially 60,000 people, or maybe tens of thousands of people, but thousands and thousands of people, one entry, four exits in a very, very small, I mean, relatively geographical area. And they're telling them they can't bring firearms. I'm sure a lot of people will come with firearms. And if people show up with firearms and they're not allowed and there's one entrance, I mean, you know there's going to be some kind of a conflict. You know that, I mean, I'm sure some people are going to try to bypass that anyway. People are going to try and sneak them in. Maybe people storm the gates. I don't know. But what I imagine is you're probably going to have maybe hundreds or thousands of people showing up to this thing to protest gun control, potentially armed with semi-automatic rifles, being turned away by police at one checkpoint. Hundreds of people bottlenecking around one checkpoint with semi-automatic weapons, being told by police, you got to turn back and go home. Doesn't seem like this is going to go very well. Now, I'll remind you that this is exactly how Charlottesville played out in 2017. Same state, same governor, same situation, credible threats, state of emergency, don't bring firearms, bottleneck. I mean, it's all textbook. It's happening in different city, but I mean, it's like textbook the same thing. And the question becomes, what happens if there is violence? What will be the nature of the violence? Will it be police shooting on demonstrators? Will it be demonstrators shooting on police? I don't think that'll happen. Will there be, bad actors? Will there be a false flag? Will there be people taking advantage of the situation? Will there be counter-protests? I'm sure there will be. All this is to say the gun control issue is a wedge issue. It's very controversial. It's very polarizing. It also happens to exacerbate conflict because it involves firearms, you know? So when you're talking about something like abortion or women's rights or whatever else that you see huge demonstrations for, well, it doesn't like involve firearms. It doesn't involve bringing firearms, typically. So that tends to make it less volatile. The nature of this, I don't have to tell you, makes it a lot more volatile. And to me, I don't think it's necessarily the end of the world. I am concerned, obviously. I do not support violence. I do not want to see violence on Monday. And I hope everybody is safe. I hope police are safe because, you know, police are just doing their job. And they go out there and, you know, they're not Ralph Northam. They don't have a political agenda. They have to keep the Capitol safe, right? And then again, I don't want demonstrators to get armed because they're out there defending their rights and so on. And we don't want bystanders to get hurt. But all of that said, at a certain point, the rubber's going to meet the road with this country. I said this on Monday. And I've been saying this, by the way, for years. I've been saying this for years. My show is like a warning. I'm not telling you, like, this is what we're going to do and we're going to cause all these problems. At least I'm not saying that. I'm sitting behind this desk telling you how it's going to unfold. When you have, you know, two camps that hold mutually exclusive positions on life or death issues that are being forced to live together in the same country, when you've got demographic change, when you've got the destruction of the family, you know, to make it general, this show is telling you what is going to happen, that it's going to get very bad if we don't start to be honest about what is happening to our country. And you can listen to me or not listen to me, but it's going to happen. You know, similarly, I feel the same way about this. You know, with this gun control, I'm not saying I want to see bad things happen, but I mean, bad things will happen. The rubber will meet the road. And I said this on Monday. You cannot have no guns and also have gun rights. You cannot have gun control and gun rights. You have to have one or the other. And what happens when one side takes power is they're going to mold the society in the way that they want it to be. They're going to take the state or the country in the direction that they personally believe or their voters believe. You know, so in this case, the Democrats in Virginia voted for Ralph Northam and for the state senators and so on the platform of gun control. So now these people are going to take Virginia down the path of gun control. This is going to be a state that does not have semi-automatic weapons. Well, it just so happens that something like half or maybe a little less than half of the people in Virginia disagree. But you can't have it both ways. You can't have it once guns and no guns. So those people are going to be forced to go along with the Democrats. They will be forced to go along even if they don't want to. There's no middle ground. There's no conceding. And the only way to do that is at the barrel of a gun, of the police, but at the barrel of a gun or the National Guard. They'll be forced. And if they don't go along with it, they'll be put in jail. Every issue is becoming like this. It's happening in every state. It's happening across the country. And this is how it starts. That one part of the country wants one thing and one part of the country wants another thing. And these things are irreconcilable. But yet, we will have to choose one direction. And in choosing one direction, everybody will have to go along with it. And the only way to drag the people along that do not agree with it is by force. Is by arresting them, by fining them, by dragging them out of their house, whatever. And what do you think starts to happen when that begins? Well, the people on this side start to team up. And they say, we don't want to get arrested. We don't want to go to jail. We don't want to get dragged out of our homes. We want our guns, or we don't want abortion, or we don't want to bake a cake for a gay wedding, or, you know, we don't want to chemically castrate our son, or we don't want refugees in our town, or we don't want immigrants in our schools, or whatever. But every issue is like this. And every issue, people are being forced to comply. And when there's very low cost for compliance, people will go along with it. When it's very low cost and it's an issue you don't really care about, people go along with it. You know, if the rule is, I don't know what it's been in Virginia previously, where maybe you need like a permit for a gun. Like I live in Illinois. You need a permit to own a gun. You need an FOID, right? So when it's a low cost, what is the cost for an FOID? You got to apply online. You wait a month or whatever, and then you get your license, right? I mean, that's like a low cost. If it's an issue you don't really care about, maybe not everybody in Illinois cares about guns. But if it's every issue, including the ones you care about, and there's a high cost, well, then people are going to start to consider all their options. That's what I'm saying. And so we look at Virginia, and this, what is happening in Virginia, what is unfolding right now, is looking into a crystal ball for the rest of the country. Because what is happening in Virginia is going to happen to the rest of the country. Not just the policies, but how the policies got put into place. You know, when we talked about Virginia last month, I elaborated on this in greater detail, but think about it this way. You know, you don't get gun control like this out of nowhere in a state like Virginia. Virginia was the capital of the Confederacy. Up until recently, Virginia was a reliably red, southern, Christian state. Now Virginia is like unwinnable for Republicans. We got killed in 2019. We lost in 2016. We're going to get killed in 2020 in Virginia, I'm sure. How did that happen? Didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen for no reason. It happened largely because of immigration. Not just immigration even from Mexico, but also internal immigration. A lot of like white people, white liberals, college educated people, you know, sort of the internationalization or the nationalization of the state population, you know, people from the outside, people from the Washington, D.C. area spilling over into Virginia. So basically, demographic change is what transformed Virginia. People from other countries, people with different views within the country have come into Virginia, where it once was farm, country, all that kind of thing, pastures. Now it is urban. Now it is immigrant. Now it is yuppie, college educated. And these people have different views. They have a different culture, a different way of life. And now those people are outnumbering the people that used to live in Virginia. And those people are voting for Democrats. And Democrats are passing gun control. And this is what's happening to the whole country. Is immigrants are coming in. The population is being globalized, internationalized with immigration, with indoctrination. You know, the people that used to live in the country are being outnumbered by new people, by immigrants, other types, have different ways of life, different opinions. They elect different governments pass different policies. And those different policies clash with our old way of life. And some people like their old way of life. And then they want to defend it. And particularly when the way of life, the subject of that is guns, they're going to fight back with guns. So what we see on Monday, you know, hopefully crisis can be averted there. Hopefully nobody gets hurt in the rally on Monday. Hopefully police and rally goers and bystanders and even counter protesters, hopefully nobody gets hurt. But even if nobody gets hurt on Monday, you're not out of the woodwork there, right? Or you're not out of the woods yet. You're not out of the woods yet. You're not in the clear. Because this is only the beginning of a series of transformations that will happen, not just in Virginia, but in the whole country that are unavoidable. Conflicts, frictions, resentment, coercion that is unavoidable. When you put together an experiment that is this country right now, which is forcing all kinds of completely different, diverse people with different viewpoints, different values, different ways of life, and so on, to live under the same government, to live in the same town, to play by the same rules, to draw from the same public services. It's inevitable. You know, so people look at Virginia, I hope nothing bad happens. Yeah, tell me about it, but bad things are going to happen everywhere across the board for the rest of our lives. Because this is a microcosm of everything that's coming down the tubes for us in every other aspect, you know? And if you don't believe me, this is what happened in California. This is what is happening to Texas. This is what is happening to North Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, Nevada. It is happening everywhere. It's even happening, places where you don't expect it. It's happening in Connecticut. It's happening in Rhode Island, Massachusetts, New York, Illinois. It's happening in North Dakota, Minnesota. Look at all the Somali immigrants in Minnesota. They have a town called Little Somalia. The crime rate is skyrocketing. I wonder why that is, right? They're now resettling so many refugees in places where you don't really expect. I mean, we know about the Southwest, where all the Hispanics are obviously pouring across the border illegally and legally in like Southern California, Arizona, and Texas and New Mexico. But what about, for example, all the Asian immigrants pouring into Washington State? Or all the Asian refugees pouring into, as I said, North Dakota? Or, you know, you even have a lot of Hispanic people going into places like Oklahoma and Kansas. And they're going into Hartford, Connecticut. I mean, and this is happening across the board. And that is what we're talking about, is the outnumbering of the population, the demographic shift to new Americans that have a totally different way of life. And it's simply a numbers game. The more of them that they are, the more they vote in these governments, the stronger these majorities become in the state governments at the federal level. And then therefore, the more charged the policy becomes. You know, let's say you have a Democratic supermajority in Virginia. Well, the policies are going to be super Democrat, super gun control, super abortion, super gay, super paused, right? Super immigrant, super black, or whatever. Super immigrant, whatever it is. And as a result, I mean, they're going to push the state completely left. It's going to be a hard left turn. And how's that going to go over for the people that are still there? And here's what the Democrats, well, here's what everybody doesn't understand, is that just because you can outvote people doesn't mean they cease to exist, right? Just because Democrats and Republicans, big labor, whatever, or big labor, big business, just because they're importing a new voter block that is going to marginally outnumber the native population, they're going to get 51% in the national election, 50% plus one in the state elections. You know, just because they bring in a new constituency to vote the way they want, maybe they're 60% of the vote. The 40% remains. So even if you ban them on Twitter, ban them on YouTube, you ignore them in the press, you outvote them in the polls, well, they're still out there. And they're getting angrier. They're getting really fucking pissed off. They're seeing their way of life destroyed. Their options are being eliminated. They're being left with nothing to lose. Their towns are being gutted. Their jobs are being taken. Their wages are going down. Their families are being torn apart. And their way of life is going away. And they're not franchised. And they have no means within the system, legitimately, to change what is happening to the country. So what are those people going to do? What are they supposed to do? They don't disappear. They don't vanish into thin air. You know, it's not like, well, if I can't see them, well, then they're not there. I mean, they're still there. And they've got their firearms, and they're mad. And this is a sign of things to come. What's happening in Virginia? This is what's going to happen all across the country. You know, they may think that they're just going to take over this country and, once we bring in all the immigrants, once we win the popular vote and Joe Biden wins by 271 electoral votes, well, then it's game over. Well, and even if the Democrats control the House, you're still going to have all these people in between the coasts. They're going to want to have the same way of life. And what's going to happen then? It's going to be huge, huge, large-scale conflict like we haven't seen in this country before. Because, you know, even something like the Civil War back in, the 1860s is different than what we're talking about today. In the time of the Civil War, obviously you did have, I mean, very different time and very different ways of life in the North and the South, but not like we're talking about today, not even close to what we're talking about today. You would say that arguably, out of the Civil War, we actually forged like a actual national identity. Samuel Huntington talks about this in Who Are We? He talks about how after 1860, that is really the beginning of the United States of America as a singular, as opposed to the United States of America as a plural. They will call the United States in a plural way because they're referring to all these different distinct states that self-identified with state and regional identities assembled together. Out of the Civil War, you got the states as one unified entity. That's not going to be the result of this one. The result of this conflict is going to be that one side is going to win and one side is going to lose. And it's going to be a lot of bloodshed and a lot of people are, going to get hurt. And then we will have a new country and everybody else will have to go along with it. Either they'll be in jail or they'll be dead or I don't know. But that's what we're talking about. So when I see Virginia, in a sense, it's about Virginia. But in a bigger sense, it's about what's happening in America. This is like your model. This to me is like the prototype of what you're going to see in the 2020s and beyond, is this kind of political conflict. So we'll see what happens. You know, thank demographic change for this. A lot of people see the result of demographic change, like the ultimate end game of demographic change, which is Democratic administrations and then subsequently Democratic policies like gun control. But where do you think he got the gun control from? You wouldn't have had gun control in Virginia if you didn't have mass immigration from Asia and Latin America. Wouldn't have happened. You wouldn't have what you have in California if you didn't have like millions of Mexicans move over there in the last 25 years. You wouldn't have had a Democratic administration because those people wouldn't have been there to vote Democrat. I mean, this stuff is common sense. So, you know, people say, oh, Nick, you know, or to the America First crowd in general, like we're racist or we're haters or we're whatever, we want violence. It's like it's the opposite. It's the opposite. We don't want conflict. We don't want violence. We want everybody to get along. But what's creating conflict? It's all these people living in the same place. They can't agree on anything. And it's life or death matters. You know, it's things that people care deeply about, and they're going to be forced to go along with something they don't like, and they're not going to take it easily. So that's what's happening in Virginia. The other development is, thankfully, West Virginia has offered us an out. West Virginia has reminded everybody that citizens of Virginia can secede from Virginia and join West Virginia. So the offer's on the table for counties. Counties in Virginia can secede and become a part of West Virginia, and that's in response to this gun control stuff. So, you know, we'll see how that pans out. But you know what? It'll be West Virginia too. So it's a matter of time. The clock is ticking towards conflict in America. And, you know, I do believe that we can avoid conflict. I mean, I don't know. We'll have to see. But if people get serious and they get honest about these divisions, and there can be some kind of a settlement or a resolution or something that accounts for these concerns and considerations I'm talking about, then maybe the country can be salvaged in some form. But I don't see that happening anytime soon. The problem is all these people that oppose this transformation are being unpersoned, but I mean, they're not being taken out. Like, there's, as I said, they still exist out there, and therein lies where the conflict is going to come from. But we're going to take a look at our super chats. We'll take a look at our ninja guineas and diamonds and everything. We'll see what all you guys are saying about everything. But it's pretty, it's somewhat concerning, everything that's going on. So we'll have to take a look and see what everybody's saying. Looks like doesn't look like a lot of messages here. I don't know if my thing's malfunctioning or if we just didn't get too many diamonds, ninja guineas tonight. Maybe you guys are tapped out from yesterday and the day before. Or is this just not scrolling up for me? I can't tell. But let's see. We've got... let me pull it up on my dashboard here. This plugin isn't working. Okay, so I'm dumb. That guy sent in the plugin for me to use on this show. And it's... I don't believe it's working because it seems like it stopped tracking... Ninja Guineas sometime at like 7:30, because I'm seeing ones that are not showing up here. So, what the heck? This plugin sucks. It doesn't even work. Well, anyway. Well, we'll continue to send them and continue to send in Ninja Guineas. I'll try and catch them as they come in. He says refresh. I think refreshing will actually reset it, but I'll read through what I have on my screen and then I'll refresh. We've got Slef, who says, loving the intro music, King. Well, hey, glad to hear it. We've got Volmer, who says, nice to see you hiring Twitter staff for your mods. Yeah, the mods were getting a little overzealous earlier. When I first started the stream, I saw the mods were just banning, like, everybody. So don't ban everybody. Just make use of the five-minute timeout. If people persist, then you can ban them, but... yeah, we got it. We got to figure that out now that we're on the new platform. It does help, though, because, you know, the chat moderation is kind of a big deal. Like, if we can't moderate the chat, it's going to present problems for the show. Varangian says, hell yeah. All right, hell yeah. Varangian says, F yeah. Okay, F yeah. I'm in. I'm with you. Let's see. We've got General Pinochet, who says, we're all going to end up in President Bernie's gulag. Yeah, can't wait. I don't think Bernie Sanders too much of a pussy to get elected president. Honestly, that display yesterday at the debate, I don't know if you guys were watching the debate or not with me, but or if you caught this, but yesterday they were addressing this controversy where Bernie had like allegedly said to Warren that a woman could never be president. And so the moderator said, so like, just to be clear, Bernie, you never said that, you never told Elizabeth Warren that a woman cannot be president. And Bernie Sanders said, yeah, that is correct. And then the moderator literally turns to Warren right after and says, how did you react when Bernie told you a woman can't be president? And Bernie just like laughed. What a fucking loser. Okay, sorry for the language, but seriously, what an idiot. How weak can you be? This guy cannot be president. This guy can't even win the presidency with an attitude like that. No pushback, no righteous indignation, no outrage. Just took it on the nose. That's crazy. Well, wow, I can't believe that. Okay, well, you're an idiot. You're a loser. How can we elect you as president, you dumb idiot? Stand up for yourself, you know? He should have called her out right then and there. He should have been like, hey, excuse me. I'm Bernie Sanders. What did you say to me, you know? But he was like, no, he didn't even address it. Not even at all. Not even when she finished talking. And that, to me, was it for me. Bernie Sanders sucks. Even if he's somewhat based in the sense that he hates rich people and hates big business and all of that. Even if that is based in a certain capacity, it's not based to get your butt handed to you by some femoid moderator. So, yeah, Bernie Gulag. Too much of a baby to do gulags. If he can't even stand up to a moderator, how's he going to put me in a concentration camp? Big Gay says, Revelation 18:24 will explain the fate of Christians. Wow, so true. Let's see. Snooze God says, read the book Baltimore Catechism. Okay, thanks for that. Vespi says, think of it as a giant gun registration. Hindsight. What is a giant gun registration? I don't understand. Not sure what you mean by that. Oh, here we go. So the dev here, the guy that made the plugin for the Super Chats, just posted a note on the plugin. He said, hey, King, there was a bug. It's fixed for future shows. Please use this Imgur album tonight. Okay, well, thanks. Yeah, well, this is... okay, there we go. So it looks like the plugin is broken for now. Well, hey, you know, thanks anyway. Thanks for trying, I guess. But, you know, hopefully it'll work tomorrow, I suppose. I'll give you a big congratulations if it works tomorrow. But let's see what else we have here. General Pinochet says, smash left-wing scum. So true. The problem is with left-wing people, there's not like a good name that encapsulates what they're about. You know, when they want to talk shit about us, they call us Nazis. We're in favor of punching Nazis. It's like, oh, well, that's compelling, actually. But what do we say about them? Commies? Like, that doesn't really work. That's kind of dated and not precise. Bolshevik doesn't really work. What really works? What can you say about a left-wing person? We need a name for them that we could say, you know, when they say punch a Nazi, well, we're not going to say punch anybody. We don't do violence here. But we could say, you know, blank scum. When they say Nazi scum, we could say, you know, blank scum. I don't know what that is. Not communist doesn't work. Communist doesn't work. Sorry, it just doesn't. Because we're not fighting communism. We're fighting godlessness. We're fighting atheism, leftism, secularism, progress. I mean, we're fighting something that is not, you know, this 19th century ideology from Karl Marx. It's so much bigger than that. It's, what do you call that? People are saying neoliberals. Oh, okay. Neoliberal scum. Okay, that doesn't really work. So, I don't know. We'll have to brainstorm. We'll have to brainstorm that. But yeah, that doesn't really work. But that's, we have to have the same attitude. We have to treat leftists the way that they treat, you know, so-called Nazis. We have to feel the same way. We have to have the same moral indignation, the same righteous indignation that they have. And we do, but we just have to direct it and express it in the right way. We have pussies on our side. We have Catholics that will say, like, well, hi, I respect you, and I like you, and yeah, you're great, and yeah, I agree with this, but... And that doesn't work, okay? That's dumb. That doesn't work. No, that is not compelling. Nobody will be rallied to your cause if you're telling people you're the arbiter of right and wrong, but, you know, you don't have any balls about it. You don't have any guts. You don't have any teeth. But that's what our people do. Even our politicians. Well, you know, the left is nice, but they just, like, misguided. The left is nice, but they just need to read a textbook. No. The left enables pedophiles, and they should be put in jail for that. The left enables deviancy, degeneracy. The left is destroying our nation. They're destroying our heritage. They are genociding our people, and that must be put to a stop, virtually at any cost. Those people should be put in jail for that. They're the worst people ever for that. You know, these are people that want to destroy your family. They want to kill you. They want to kill your kids. They want to make your kids gay or trans or whatever. They want to put your kids in a school where they're a minority. I mean, they hate you. This is who we're dealing with. These are not our friends. These are our enemies. We have to treat them that way. By God, we will treat them that way. So, let's see. Slew of Poo says, you've been working hard. Maybe take the 20th off. What's the 20th? I don't know what that means. What, because of the rally next week? No, I got to be there for the rally. Dresden says, one ninjet if you jam out to your D-Live intro music. Yeah, maybe on a gaming stream, but not on this show. That's not very professional. Let's see. Dresden says, "You're one slick dick. The intro music resonates." Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for that. I'm glad you like the intro music. Proud European says, "Let's see if Antifa pussies show up at this rally." I'm sure they won't because, you know, there's going to be guns there. What else? Well, we got a lot of diamonds flying around in chat here. America First Juice, as you know, I'm still here. Anika can't afford a ninja. Well, that's okay, buddy. Thanks for the diamond. I'll take what you can give. Whatever you got, whatever you can spare for the cause, brother. Whatever diamonds, whatever lemons, ice. Well, you know, lemons is like nothing, okay? Pennies. But whatever you got, send it up. I do appreciate it. Save the West says, "Incredible shows this week, back with a vengeance." Hey, thanks, buddy. Yeah, I feel like I've been on a roll. You know, look, when I went on vacation, it was like, kind of had to get back into the swing of things, and I had not really been doing very many shows. It's like I took a week off basically for Christmas, and I took a week off for vacation after. I didn't do very many shows in December. I did like 9, so I was sick. I was sort of, you know, getting back into the swing of things last week. Now I'm rehabilitated. I feel better. I feel stronger. You know, I'm back. I've been practicing. You know, I was back in the show last week. So yeah, back with a vengeance for real. Oh, my whole activity feed just disappeared. Damn it! Ugh! Okay, well, let's see. I just lost my whole activity feed. Epic. D-Live, can we fix this? Can we fix this, please? Big Globe says, "Will Stream Elements be a possibility?" No, because they only transfer the money out through PayPal. I tried that today. That's why I was counting on Stream Elements, and I tried to hook it up today, and they only do payouts with PayPal. I don't have PayPal. I got banned there. So I thought they had a crypto option, but I guess not. French Fag says, "How do you think the international community would react if a second civil war broke out?" I don't know. That's a good question. I have no idea. Probably our adversaries would give material support to the insurgents. And the rest would just sort of watch. I think everybody else would just watch. Boo Radley says, "Switching between America First and maps on my commute." Well, that's very good. Let's see. Polish American says, "You get the most flack when you're over the target." Says me. Yeah, no, that's still good. I'm glad you are still resting on your laurels with that one. I think I liked that super chat like last month, and you still keep reminding me. So yeah, it's still true. That's still good. Thank you so much for that. We got another one from America First Jew. Hey, thanks for the diamond. And then I guess I'll read these from the Imgur album. We've got Henry Yates who says, "No." Okay. Timed Out says, "Diamond super chats are the backbone of America First." So true. Armenian Groypers says, "Pew Research found that 95% of young people in Armenia oppose gay marriage. I've never been more proud." Yeah, that's pretty based. Armenia is pretty trad, even if they're not white. Kidding. That's a joke. But, I mean, is it? Easy says, "I can't believe you're reading diamonds." Yeah, well, believe it. Tybor says, "If you're Italian, you can say retardo in public." I guess that's true. If you're Italian, you can say anything, because we are tough. Zoomer says, "So you'd be saying it only a dollar for pee pee poo poo?" Yeah, I'd be saying that. Let me hold a dollar for that pee pee poo poo. Gee. So would you be saying, yeah, man. Maxi Bro says, "Dems be like, we love our cops, our law enforcement now." Yeah, seriously. Minnesota Groyper says, "Can we get an F for JD's Twitter?" Yeah, big F in chat for JD. JD, the Black Groyper, infamous Black Groyper. He was a very good content creator. It wasn't just a tokenism thing. He actually posted a lot of good content. So, sad to see him go. Oryx says, "Some of you guys are all right. Don't come to the rally." Okay, disavow. Pensive says, "Good to see you pulling good numbers. Good show." Hey, thanks, buddy. Yeah, pretty great numbers. We got, I think we were up to like 8,000 tonight, which is huge. We had 10,000 on Monday, 10,000 yesterday, 8,000 tonight, which is pretty big. I mean, for switching over to a new platform, and that's more than we usually get. I've been averaging like 5,000, 6,000 for the past couple of months. So we've outdone the average every night here. And, you know, typically the viewership goes, Monday's my biggest night, Thursday's usually my weakest night. It kind of goes down as the week goes on. Friday's a little bit better than Thursday typically. So, you know, to stay strong at 10,000 two nights in a row, 8,000 on a Wednesday, that's a pretty good week for America First. We'll see what else we got here. America First juices. Keep the lemons flowing. Yeah. Keep them coming. Keep the lemons coming, please. Let's grease the content wheels here. Contact says, did you see conservatives getting a spine soon? No, not anytime soon. Politicians, definitely not. But people, perhaps. People and Generation Z, perhaps. Yikes Department says, I enjoyed the tariff discussion. Well, I'm glad you did. Thanks. I'm glad we have a high IQ. Okay, my activity feed is gone. This activity feed is broken, okay? This activity feed is broken. Can we fix that? I don't know if we have, I don't mean to get too indignant here, but if we have any devs in chat, if we have any of the DLive people in chat, activity feed's going to need some work. We're going to need to work on that, okay? Samadhi says, call left parasites? Crucial issue with them. No, what are you, an idiot? Yeah, parasite scum. Parasite isn't even like, it's not even specific. What's wrong with you if you think that's a good idea? Call them parasites. I mean, they are, but what are you thinking, dude? That's just a terrible idea. Woos says, punch a pedo. Yeah, but they're not all pedophiles. That's a thing. That's why it doesn't work. They're not all pedophiles. And I know we're not all Nazis, but pedophiles, like, again, a very specific thing. So it doesn't quite work. Matt, you think I didn't think of these? You think I didn't think of that? Maxi Bro says, not good enough. Keep the lemons flowing. Yeah, not good enough. We need more lemons. More lemons. Dr. Phil says, Bernie campaign based now? No, nothing based about this guy. He's weak. Armenian Groiper says, based brothers. Yeah, our based brother, JD. Big Gay says, lemon spam breaks the feed. Yeah, that does. That it does. N-word Darius says, why aren't you using Streamlabs? I got banned from Streamlabs. That's why I got banned. I got banned. Well, look, Streamlabs, there's two ways to process payments on Streamlabs. There's credit card and there's PayPal. People can pay you on Streamlabs with their debit card or credit card, I guess, or with PayPal. Well, I'm banned from PayPal, and their credit and debit card processing is done by Stripe, and I'm banned from Stripe. So I can't use... Why don't you just use Streamlabs? I used Streamlabs for a year, and I got banned from it! So, all these people, well, why didn't you just think of this? Well, yeah, that's a funny thing. I did, but I'm banned from everything. So, okay, activity feed has just been blown up again. You know, this website, okay, we're going to need to work on this a little bit. If America First is going to stick around on here, we need to fix this up a little bit, okay? Because my activity feed just keeps getting blown up, and I can't read any of the chats. It's a mess. We're gonna have to fix it for tomorrow. I don't know. I'll have to incorporate maybe something else. I tried Entropy. Entropy only works with YouTube and Twitch. I tried Stream Elements. It's only run on PayPal. I tried Streamlabs. Streamlabs doesn't integrate with DLive, so even if you can't pay through Streamlabs, I don't even get notifications from DLive. Nothing works! So we'll have to figure it out. We'll figure something out. We always do. Chris Dorr says, you take a break, World War III, PewDiePie does it, Civil War. That's an interesting pattern there, very true. Let's see, what else do we have? Back to the Imgur album. Where was I? Where did I leave off? I think I left off at... this one. Tree Dragon says, if you could bump Steyer and replace him with any candidate no longer on the stage, who would it be? It'd be Andrew Yang, obviously. Patrice O'Neill says, Patrice O'Neill red-pilled me on women. Bird Gang rises. Okay, cool. Big Gay. So second phase of the trade deal will come post-election. Yeah, that's possibly true. Boomer Destroyer says, thanks for all you do. Hope you're feeling better. Thanks, buddy. Yeah, I'm feeling better. Josh says, in triumph of Christ, no pagan survives. Oh, wow, nice. Kind of LARPy at this point. Bad Faith Poster says, Groiper is canceled. You know, it's not canceled, but I'm just, like, retiring it for myself. Esoteric Fiddler says, Virginia Boomers, we love our folks in the military, National Guard. So anyway, I started blasting, yeah, right? Well, it's something to think about. You know, all these Republicans that are so keen on police and military, it's something to think about. Who's going to be enforcing these gun control measures? You know, something to consider. What else? Armenian Groiper says, F for my Twitter account, banned for a week. Hey, sorry to hear that. Big F. Ham says, what's with the politics? Isn't this guy about Star Wars? Who, me? Oh, yeah, yeah. I took a break from my normal Star Wars topics on the show. America First, where we talk about, you know, deep Star Wars lore, Star Wars nostalgia, to talk a little bit about trade. T-Dub says, I'll follow you to whatever Chinese social media platform will have us, trusting the plan. Yeah, gotta trust the plan. Boopers says, hi. Hi. Esoteric says, Ralph Northam, unironically a priest of Moloch. Yeah, very true. Well, he's the guy that talked about, like, post-birth abortion and all that. The guy's terrible. Archer says, first $1 super chat. Ah, amazing. Moving up in the world, truly. Snooze God, and then we're back up to speed. Okay, then we're back up to where we were before. Okay. So, looks like it's fixed now. Okay. Jordan Pounds says, globalist would be an accurate optical counter. Yeah, I agree. Globalist is probably our best bet. I think globalist is maybe the best we can do. Globalist, yeah, that's probably, yeah, I think that'd probably work. Big Gay says, can I get another lemon check in chat? Hell yeah, lemon check. Jordan says, free me, JD. Yeah, you're not JD, you're Jordan Dyer. Is that the same guy? I don't think it is. Solid Snakes says, is degenerates too weak a term or does it work? It's too weak. And also, it's kind of like silly, I find. Degenerate, I don't know. It's very dated, you know. A globalist is as well, but I feel like degenerate doesn't encompass the totality of what we're talking about. You know, Nazi encompasses the totality of what we're about in the sense that they view everything that is traditional, everything that is moving towards homogeneity, order, hierarchy, authority. I mean, all of that, they try to draw the connotation with Nazi. We need a word that is a connotation for everything that they're about, not just the sexual perversion, which is a big part of it, but also the opposition to God, and also, you know, this idea about globalizing the population. And I mean, there's a lot to incorporate into it that it needs to have a connotation for. But globalist is a pretty close approximation, I think. Blank searches 1 to 10, how likely is a Virginia happening? I don't know. How to quantify the probability that something bad will happen in Virginia, I don't know. But I'll just tell you, nothing ever happens. You know, we thought it was going to go down with Iran. Nothing ever happens. So I'm probably going to say it's maybe like a 1. I'd like to say imminent conflict, whatever. There's a strong likelihood that something could happen, but I mean, things don't really happen anymore. So I'm going to say a low probability, but I could probably be wrong. Every time something happens, every time something seems like it'll happen, it doesn't. That's just my intuition. Even if there's like a likelihood or a possibility because of all the pieces that are in place, I'm going to say, like, you know, nothing ever happens, but I might be wrong. Maybe it'll happen this time. I can't quantify it for you. Dresden says, the homosexual threat to civilization, epic speech. I haven't seen that. Cat Coffee says, because who the kids going to listen to, huh? I guess me if it isn't you. Yeah, for real. That's Kanye, right? What song is that? I guess me if it isn't you. Paid a visit to the Institute, college dropout, keeping kids in school. Isn't that how it goes? What is it? That's, it's from Graduation. What is that from? It's so hard when I just hear the lyric and I don't have it, like, in my head, especially when I'm on stream. Or is it from College Dropout? Is it from Graduation or College Dropout? I think it's from College Dropout, actually, now. Who the kids gonna listen to? I guess me if it isn't you. Alright, I gotta look it up. I can't do it. And I know that line so well. I know that song so well, but for whatever reason it's not playing for me. Champion. Oh, it was from Graduation. It was from Graduation, from Champion, of course. Last week, I paid a visit to the Institute. I just missed it. They got the dropout keeping kids in the school. Yeah, all right. Finally stumped me. I know that song very well. I recognize the lyric right away, but I just can't. When I'm on stream, it's hard for me to come up with it off the top of my head from the whole discography. I think it's from Champion. We figured it out. Anyway. Holly says, glad to see you're feeling better, Nick. Yeah, me too. I'm glad to be feeling better. I've been having a rough 2020, man. I've been having a rough year so far. But I'm tough. But I'm extremely tough. I'm extremely resilient. Man, it's... been kind of having a rough year ever since I killed those Turning Point guys. No, I never killed anybody, but, like, rhetorically speaking... I've been having a rough year ever since I killed those Conservative Inc. guys. Okay, I'm waiting for the punchline. There is no punchline. It's not a joke. You're serious, aren't you? You killed those three young men. Okay, anyway, more Joker. More, it's evergreen. Evergreen. It'll never become stale. But yeah, I got sick. I got banned. I'm getting attacked. I'm getting called gay on the internet. Controversy. And it's only the beginning. I got a nosebleed today. So it's just like, it never ends. If I went through the list of things that have happened to me this year, let's see, the year starts out with controversy. People are calling me gay on the internet. People are calling me a neocon. People write a fake article saying I'm in favor of war with Iran. That's like week one. Then I get sick. Plus my allergies, you know, I'm sick and my allergies, my voice goes. Then I get banned on YouTube. Then I get even more sick. Then I take a trip and my ears never pop. I get on the plane, I get off the plane, and my ears don't pop for like 3 days because of all the fluid buildup in my sinuses. Then I got like sick from eating food. I had the weird Asian dish and I got a little sick from it, and you know, so it's just, then I got demonetized, so yeah, it's been kind of a rough year. Now I'm not complaining, all right, I'm not whining about it. It's just been a little tough. Okay, so hopefully we can turn things around in 20, you know, then all these problems with finding alternatives and so on, sheesh. Anyway, Dresden says the home. Oh, I just read that one. Where was I? Where did I leave off? Armenian Groiper says, King, did you get a chance to watch the New American Century yet? What did you think? No, I didn't get a chance. No, I didn't get a chance to watch that documentary between today and Monday. Dr. Phil says, how about hedonists? No. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? No. Hedonist scum. No, it just... Whatever it is, it has to communicate that they're doing harm to us. You know, Nazi works because Nazis are not just doing bad things over there, like they're going to take over and they're going to come to your house and they're going to fuck with you. So calling someone a hedonist is like, oh, like you're being a bad person over there. It has to communicate their plan for us, for our people. Globalist is a closer approximation of that. So we're working on it. All these super... Well, what about this? No, you don't... No, it's not for you. Groiper generals will have to brainstorm this. A. Mungo says, you're the 33rd most followed on DLive. Keep it up. Yeah, I'm one of the biggest creators here. I'm one of the biggest streamers here, period. You know, it's like PewDiePie, me. I mean, that's kind of how it goes, right? I mean, there's a couple of other big streamers on here, but... For the most part, I'm like right up there. I'm like right up there at the top. I'm like 33rd most followed. But, you know, if you look at the engagement, who else is pulling 8,000 people three nights in a row? You know, 8,000 people three nights in a row. I don't know. I don't think anybody else is doing that. So, very true. Yeah, we're doing good. Don't mean to brag. Not trying to be, cocky or anything, but it's true. Leptalaris Groyper says, I felt like I've had a cold for all of 2020 so far. I've been taking vitamin C, but it's not helping. Yeah, vitamin C doesn't help, get rid of your cold. It helps prevent cold because it builds up your immune system. As far as I think that's how it works, right? So you got to take drugs, man. Not like bad drugs, but, take ibuprofen, take your DayQuil, your NyQuil. That's what's going to help fix your symptoms there. Dresden says, your methodology is masculine and uncucked, not gay. Yeah, very true. T-Dubs says, total king energy tonight, big guy. Yeah, thanks. I'm feeling like a king lately. I'm feeling strong. Can't get me down. Can't get me down. I'm too tough, too strong. Polish American says, can I get a rant nation in chat? Why don't you just stop? Why don't you just stop right there, okay? Nibba be like, we need to hear things from weeks ago. We need more things from years ago. Just stop, okay? With the stale memes, Polish American Groyper. He followed us from YouTube with the cringe super chats. Can I get a rant nation? Remember that punchline? Guys, I'm going to redeem myself. Shut up. Just stop it, all right? Just stop it. No, I'm sorry. That was a little mean. That was a little intense, but we all see what you're doing there. We all see it. Can I get a rant nation in chat? Nobody was even talking about that. You're just bringing that. You're bringing up some old meme. Push the button. Get the desired reaction. Oh, now I'll redeem myself. I don't think so. Let's work a little harder. All right, Polish American. Let's try a little harder here. Sam says, you're insisting upon scum. Drop that part. What? Shut up. Don't tell me what to do. What do you mean I'm insisting on scum? When have I said that? Holly Nicole says, great show tonight. Keep your chin up. Thanks, I will. Dr. Phil says, I give you one whole dime and you critique my genius idea. Now, these ideas are bad. These ideas are bad and not good. Okay. Well, looks like that's all our diamonds. Only got one more. T-Dubs says, wrecked nation. Yeah, more like wrecked nation. Am I right? More like a wrecked nation. Level Best says, is anti-white scum to 2017 Wignet? It's direct. Yeah, it's to Wignet, to 2017. Anti-white is, I think, should be used sparingly. It should be used, but sparingly. Relying on it overly, I think, sends the wrong message. It's complicated. I'll maybe elaborate on a future show. But yeah, it is a little Wignet-ish. Weeb Waker says, best streamer, U.S. number one. Hell yeah. Number one, 10,000, 8,000 live viewers. Who else? Molly McGuire says, Nick, be like, you super chatted bad, 10-page essay. Yeah, we're going to need to write it on the board. I will not super chat cringe. I will not super chat stale memes. I'm going to have you go on Bart Simpson mode pretty soon, all right? Drew Brew says, g'day, Nick. Shout out to all Anglos. Yeah, shout out to all Anglos. I do shout out the Anglos. Silly, funny accent people. Dr. Phil says, I'm a gropper general, bro. Are you? Are you, though? I don't think you are going to the Wednesday meetings for the Groyper generals. Solid Snake says, schemers. And every time we say it, we wave our hands. What does that mean? What do you mean wave them like this? Schemers? Schemers trying to control their little world. I don't know. That doesn't really work because I listen to the song Beamer Boy and I say, I'm a schemer boy. I'm a dreamer boy. So we should aspire to be schemers. Nothing wrong with scheming. It's just, what is the scheme is the question. General Pinochet with a Ninjagini. Yeah, finally some Ninjaginis in chat. Am I right? He says, great show, Nick. High energy tonight. Yeah, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Let's see. Leftist Cuck says, mustache department. Yeah. I finally trimmed the beard down. And we've got the mustache, as we always intended to do, according to my design. The beard has been trimmed down. The mustache is accentuated. The mustache will continue to grow. I like it much better this way than a beard. I don't know about you guys, but I prefer this. Esoteric says, Nazi scum is pretty infantile. It is, but it also works. But it also kind of works, in a way. Not everyone on the left uses it, but it does get used to great effect. White supremacist, neo. I mean, we need our own collection of words like this. We need our own, we need to construct our own rhetorical framework, our own dialectical framework to frame these issues. That must be the mission. Heed my warning on this. Alien Myth says, what's one of your favorite TikToks? Hit or miss, obviously, but I don't know. I haven't been going on TikTok too much lately. You know which one I really liked from last year? There was, what was it? It was this guy. He's like this, he was actually like much older than I thought. I don't know if you remember this one. It wasn't just a guy. It was a guy and a girl. And like they're between a door. And what was the song? Do you know what I'm talking about? It was supposed to be like they're on opposite ends of the door. And the guy is like banging on the door. And the girl's like afraid. She's like scared. What was it? Who did? I don't remember the name. I don't follow either of the people. And I don't remember the sound that was used. But that was going around last year. And it was like so addicting to watch. For whatever reason, it had this quality. Everybody remarked about it in the comments that it's like, it was very catchy. It was very like memeable. So that one was one of my favorites. The hit or miss. I'm trying to think what other notable ones I've seen. The one where they're asking the girls about their hair. They're like, hey, are you going to keep your hair that way? Brick Nerman is very good. I like Brick Nerman a lot. Baked Alaska's got some good ones. Let's see. Tungsten says, trust the scheme. Trust the scheme. Trust the scheme, everybody. Well, trust the plan. Seriously. Maxi Bro says, keep sending diamonds. Yeah. Solid Snake says, nah, just joking. We send lemons. You're up with plans. Okay, I don't know what that means. Save the West says, globalist hits the point, but isn't defensive enough. Yeah. It's close, but it's not quite there. Dr. Phil has been saving my lemons for you and Ted Wang. Ah, well, thanks a lot for that. Thanks for saving them up for me. Zoomer Code says, sorry for the technical difficulties, King. No, it's all right. Hey, thanks for making the app, right? I can't complain if it's a little rusty. Easy E says, invent new words and assign them definitions. Ah, good word. Or a good word. Good idea. I will just invent Dr. Seuss-type words, and we'll just say they mean certain things. Fiery Tyrant says, how about Coomer? No. No. No, I'm sorry. That is a horrible idea. Esoterics is women going back to the kitchen to avoid the draft. Yeah, pretty funny. Yeah, women suddenly know where to be found when it's time to get drafted. Big Stag says, can you rank the Star Wars movies? In terms of my favorites, as opposed to what is objectively the best, I would probably say, for me, in terms of my favorite, not what is good, but what is my favorite, I would probably say Revenge of the Sith is my favorite. And then probably Attack of the Clones. And then probably, what would be after Attack of the Clones? Maybe Empire Strikes Back. And then A New Hope. And then Return of the Jedi, Phantom Menace. I don't know if I want to rank Phantom Menace. I kind of like Phantom Menace. But Phantom Menace may be at the bottom. And then, you know, everything else is below that. I love the prequels. I love them. Maybe they're not like objectively good movies, but I like them, and they're good to me. And the scene in Geonosis, that battle scene, it's just better than everything in the whole series. Okay, or most of everything. You know when all the Jedi, when it's Obi-Wan, Anakin, and Padme, they get sentenced to death in that arena. Then they have to fight the creatures. They have to fight the Akle. I'm not going to pretend I don't know what they're called. They have to fight the Reek. They'll have to fight the Akle in the Geonosis Arena. And then Mace Windu comes up and he says, this party's over. Epic, right? And then all the Jedi turn on their lightsabers. And then Count Dooku says, brave, but foolish. And then he goes, you're terribly outnumbered. And Mace Windu says, I don't think so. And then the super battle droids come out, and Mace Windu jumps off the thing. Jango Fett starts his cape on fire, and then all the battle droids run out. I mean, you can't beat that. And then after they get out of the arena, then it's like the first battle of the Clone Wars. They're blasting that spherical ship. It blows up, and there's dust everywhere. Then Count Dooku fights Anakin, Obi-Wan, and then Yoda. the scene with Jango Fett in the beginning when they're on Kamino, the chase scene on Coruscant, it's like just an awesome movie. People are down on it because there's like weird dialogue because Anakin says like, I don't like sand. But beside that, the movie's epic, okay? It's epic. Attack of the Clones, underrated. Revenge of the Sith, epic. Uncontested, epic. Better than all of them combined, in my opinion. So, anyway, that's my ranking. That's my rank. I'm very passionate about this subject. That's my ranking. I'd probably go Revenge of the Sith, Attack of the Clones. And even Phantom Menace has some redeeming. Phantom Menace is like, not the best. But Duel of the Fates, okay? Darth Maul fighting Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan. Best lightsaber fight in the whole series. You even have in the beginning, the opening sequence is awesome. Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan cutting down battle droids. They're trying to smash through the door. Epic moment. The pod race, kind of cool, honestly. So even when they're in the Naboo palace and they're having to shoot the battle droids, even that's kind of cool. When they all shoot with the grappling hook on the gun and they all ascend upward. It's kind of epic, okay? I like it. So, people are very down on the prequels, and I will die. This is the hill that I will die on. I will die on this hill that the prequels are epic, all right? I know it's a little cringe. I know it's a little, like, Reddit cringe, okay? Star Wars and all that, but it's Zoomer nostalgia. To me, it's just very Zoomer nostalgia. So, anyway, that's the Star Wars portion of the show. Somebody in chat says, now this is pod racing. That was epic. When he said that, that was epic. I'll try spinning. That's a cool move. You know what my favorite is? Favorite is when Anakin crashes into the Trade Federation ship and his fighter is not working. The best is when he's playing with all the buttons. I don't know why, but I love that so much when he was playing with the buttons. It was like ASMR when he's flipping that switch and something about, maybe I have autism. Maybe I just have like severe autism, but for whatever reason, when he was fooling around with the buttons, I was like, I don't know. It did something to me. I was like, that's kind of epic. Naboo fighter button ASMR. I also like when he says, okay, this is not good. When the battle droids start to come in. A little bit of Star Wars autism for you. A little bit of Star Wars autism for you. Somebody in chat says, are you an angel? Yeah, that was cringe. When Anakin says, are you an angel? Shut up, idiot. Confirmed autist. He's just like me. Enthralling button switching. There was something about it, which was just, it was like when you watch on Snapchat, it's like those satisfying compilations. You know what I mean? When they do these... I hate them, but on Snapchat when they compile these like satisfying videos, oddly satisfying, where it's like people are breaking apart, like you know, they make goo, or it's like I don't know what else do people do on oddly satisfying? They pop like bubble wrap. You know what I'm talking about? It was like that. It was like an oddly satisfying ASMR. Anakin pressing the buttons. Okay. Anyway. Anywho, back to the Super Chats here. I just love Star Wars, okay? I love Star Wars when I was a kid. I always loved Star Wars when I was a kid. So I'm allowed my Reddit moment, okay? I am entitled to my Reddit moment. What else? Bob Jones says, D-Live will bend to the will of the knicker. Yes, D-Live, fix your activity feed, please. Leftist Cuck says, China is our second biggest enemy. Hashtag JQ. Ah, yeah. Good point. Really good idea there. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You said it, brother. You said it, bro. Umbridge says, Untermensch scum. Oh, my God. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Untermensch scum or Judeo-Bolshevik. Just fuck off. Go watch a different show. Go watch Michael Enoch or something. Jeez, what a terrible idea. Yeah, Judeo-Bolshevik. Yeah, that sounds mainstream and easy for the bulk of the population. That'll work for sure. Keep saying that, yeah. You and Mike Stryker. You and Eric Stryker. Yeah, that's going to all work out. Working people get behind that. Nanocyphersis. How about Cosmopolitans while rubbing hands? No, you know what? You're not getting it. Stop suggesting things. Please stop. You're triggering my autism. Just stop. These ideas are terrible. Based Bobby says, will you go back on Trainwreck's podcast? Yeah, if I was invited. Harris Walker says, thoughts on Plo Join? It's Plo Koon, dude. It's not Plo Join. It's Plo Koon, idiot. Thoughts on Plo Koon and Kit Fisto? I think they're based, okay? Plo Koon and Kit Fisto, I think they're both very based. Let's see. Dr. Phil says, if you read Diamonds, I can't not cringe post. Well, I've got to do it. I got to read the Diamonds. Esoteric says, LOL, Mace Windu with the grape-flavored lightsaber. Yeah, kind of funny, though. But kind of also epic, though, as well. Mungo says, they are rebel scum. We are the Galactic Empire. Yeah, for real. Robert says, what do you think of The Mandalorian? I didn't like it, honestly. Didn't really care for it. Jude Clymer says, I work in Beverly Hills, and it's always slow on Saturday. Okay, I don't know what that means. Nano says, Disney Star Wars 10 opens with Wookiee sodomy. Okay. Dresden says, NPC or Zogbot works. Yeah, Zogbot. Hey, okay, Zogbot. Yeah, that has the same weight as Nazi. Yeah, great idea. Just stop. Just quit while you're ahead. RIP says, Natalie Portman was QT3.14. Okay, saying it that way is kind of cringe, but you're right. I recently discovered she was Jewish. I didn't know she was Jewish. I guess that's like common knowledge. I had no idea. I thought she was like Met. I thought she was like, you know, Greek or something, but I guess she's Jewish. Not that there's anything, you know, nothing wrong with that, but I didn't know that. But yeah, Natalie Portman, very hot, especially in Star Wars 1. So, Fresh Produce says Dems equal satanic Marxists. Yeah, that'll take off. Just, okay, just enough. It's just sickening to just hear these terrible ideas. It's degrading. Oatman, or I'm sorry, is that a zero? Oh, Adaman says, Nick, it's the ASMR plan, yeah. Mungo says, Boss Nass is canonically a driver. Boss Nass, yeah, Boss Nass, check in chat. For real, yeah, the Gungans is the inspiration for the Groiper. There is you have to tell Charlie Kirk there is always a bigger fish. Somebody needs to go in his next culture war tour when they're asking a question. Hey, and remember, Charlie, there's always a bigger fish. Isn't that what they say in Star Wars 1 when they're swimming through the thing or whatever? There's always a bigger fish, Charlie. Yeah, Gungan chat. Yo, Gungan check in chat, please. Can we get a G for Gungan? Jar Jar Binks, Boss Nass Groiper. Boss Nass Groiper. Whoever can make that account, you're epic. Okay, what else? Clittery Hinton. So Star Wars ASMR got me trusting the plan, yeah. Florida Man says, my vote is for Spiteful Mutants. Just shut up. Just stop. R.I.P. says Spurg Wignats and shit. Yeah, seriously. General Pinochet says smash satanic scum. Yeah, that's amazing. Jude Clymer says, bruh, Saturday is Sabbath. Oh, I get it. Life in Hell says lefties be like Watto. Very sad. Yeah, good one. Trustee says, what's the secret to your hairstyle, big guy? There is no secret, really. Boo Radley says, I always thought Mace Windu's lightsaber was cool. Yeah, because it is cool. It's very cool. Jaden McNeil says the protest might be volatile. That is true. Well, hey, thanks. Thank you, Jaden McNeil, for the diamond. Much appreciated. Solid Snake says YouTube is gay, but I miss super chatting from my account. Yeah. It's like I had my identity taken away. Yeah. I get it, dude. I feel the same way about my account. Boo Radley says, failed plug-in writer, scum? Yeah, maybe that'll pass for our name. Bob Jones says, some sort of Masonic ritual causing Spurgs in chat. Yeah, just get rid of them. Just ban them. Harris says, the 2D Clone Wars is slept on. Facts. Yeah, seriously. 2D Clone Wars 2003, Part 1 and Part 2. General Grievous makes his debut and did he make his debut in Chapter 1? Yeah, at the end of Chapter 1 with Ki-Adi Mundi and a few other Jedi. I remember that. Dirge and what else? Asajj Ventress and Ilum. Oh man, when they were making lightsabers on Ilum, it was who was it? It was Luminara, I think, or what the fuck was her name? The green one. There was that scene where they're on Ilum and they have the Jedi crystals. And they're making the lightsabers. Man. Who was it? Who was it on there? What was the green one's name? I know all the girl Jedi's, like Shaak Ti, okay, she was the red one. I think she was a Twi'lek. Aayla Secura. No, Shaak Ti was not a Twi'lek. Aayla Secura was a Twi'lek blue. And who is the green one? Who is the green one? What was her name? Let's see. I'll have to look it up in appearances in Clone Wars, maybe. Is there a section for that? Let me check. Let me take a look. Is it non-canon? Is that non-canon now already? Okay, you know what? Let me just search up the first one. Star Wars Clone Wars 2003. Yeah, Obi-Wan fights Dirge, that bounty hunter. What else was in there? Mace Windu destroys that droid ship or whatever. Anakin fights Asajj Ventress. He gets, like, scarred or something. I think that's where Scar came from, isn't it? What else? What else was in there? Mon Calamari. Yeah, Kit Fisto with the amphibious assault. And what was it? What was the, what was on Ilum? I forget the girl's name. Maybe it's in here. Voice cast. Maaybe it was Shaak Ti. Okay. It's not important, but you know what? It's really not that important. Okay. We're spending a lot of time on the Star Wars stuff. Probably a lot of you guys are like, you know, who cares? But it mattered a lot to me, okay? But it was very important to me. Okay, anyway. Anywho. Slef says, why not the terms soy boy and fag, bad optics? Not that it's... No. Number one, soy boy is stale. Don't say that. I feel like when Joker says, don't say that about my mother. Don't say that. Don't say soy boy. That is cringe. And fag works, but it's just not the same. It's not that you're not getting... You're just not getting it. You're just not getting it. We could call them fags, but it's just not the same as Nazi. Nitro Dub says, did you watch Plinkett Star Wars prequel reviews? No. Jordan says, enough cringe suggestions. Yeah, seriously, just stop. Tungsten says, Kit Fisto, best secondary Jedi, to be honest. What do you mean by secondary? You mean like Jedi that didn't get any lines? Yeah, I would say, well, I don't know, Kit Fisto... Probably the best, yeah, I suppose. Plo Koon was very cool, in my opinion, as well. What else? Tungsten, I just read that. Kozer says, Watt Tambor has the crunchiest grooves in Star Wars. Watt Tambor, the head of the Techno Union. Man, you're bringing me back. You're bringing me back to the old days. The head of the Techno Union. Yeah, that he was a very robotic individual. Esoteric says, are Kazarian milkers ever permissible? No. Another stale meme. Just please, man. Some of these memes, I'm just like cringing, guys. It hurts me. Dresden says, if you can do it better, let's hear your best shot. I told you, globalist is the closest approximation. But I don't, look, I don't need to come up with something good to tell you what doesn't work, okay? Obviously. Sparkplug says, 2D Clone Wars Elite Troopers were based. I don't remember them, actually. Fresh Produce says, Modern Warfare 2, best Call of Duty? Noobtube Gang, 1v1 me, yeah. Modern Warfare 2, yeah, it's probably one of my favorites. I really like Black Ops. I really like Modern Warfare 3 and Black Ops 2. I would say those four games were probably the best before it went off the rails. Hippity Hoppity says, Chad, ARC Troopers, am I right? I like vaguely remember the ARC Troopers. Macaroni. Oh, you know what? No, I do remember them now. On Coruscant, right? Macaroni says, what color is the Nick Fuentes Kyber Crystal? Well, you know, in canon, the colors didn't mean anything, okay? In the traditional Star Wars canon, the colors of the lightsabers didn't have any meaning. In the Disney canon, they now mean something. And now, if you have a green lightsaber, this is so cringe. This is cringe, okay? But in the new canon, what is it if you have a blue lightsaber, it means you're like a guardian. If you have a green lightsaber, it means you're like, what, a console or something like that, something with a C. But blue is like you're a warrior, you have like more of the physical attributes of a Jedi. Green means you're like more in touch with the Force, like Qui-Gon or Yoda. Red obviously means you're on the dark side. Purple means like a fusion of the good and, you know, you're harnessing both. Yellow, I forget what yellow means because Rey has a yellow lightsaber. I don't know, I'd probably have a green lightsaber. Or would I have blue? I don't know, it's a tough call. Because I'm a warrior, but I also am in touch with the Force, you know, analogously. So I don't know, it's a tough call. I would have to, I would know the Kyber crystal would detect, you know, where my Force sensitivity was at. What does this say? Oh, greatest story. Yeah, thanks. Says D-Live is a turd. It wigs out constantly. I mean, I'm not going to be down on D-Live, but there are some issues. Esoteric says, I was legit asking for Padme. Oh, asking what? Oh, for Padme. Yeah, well, it's still cringe. Engi says, Palpatine controlling both parties makes you think. Yeah, really makes you think. That's, yeah, for sure. Okay, well, oh no, we got one more. Bob Jones says Star Wars is very esoteric. Not really. Star Wars is really not esoteric, but, you know, whatever. Okay, but it looks like that's our last diamond. Okay, we got one more. Dresden says globalist is a dog whistle, won't work. No, that's not true. Globalist will work. Okay, you're not smart. Now you're just salty. Now you're just like, well, Nick shot down my idea. I'm going to shoot down his. Well, you're wrong. But that's going to be our last diamond here. Remember to sign up for the email list, NicholasJFuentes.com. Sign up for the email list. I'm going to be banned from YouTube soon. Excuse me. And frankly, who knows how long I'll even be on here or anywhere for that matter. So sign up for the email list, NicholasJFuentes.com. That's the only thing that's ban-proof. I could be banned from anything, including Telegram, including DLive. I mean, it's probably less likely, but it's still possible. So be sure to sign up for that. Link is down below. Sign up for my Telegram, t.me/NickJFuentes1. Remember to follow me on this channel. Click the follow button. Make sure you're following and all of that. I'm saying like leave a comment, like the video, blah, 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 but you can't do any of that for here. So just follow my channel here. Remember, we are on the air Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Nicholas J. Fuentes. This is America First. As always, thanks for watching. Thanks to everybody that's donated lemons tonight, even if I had to cringe at you, even if you made a bad suggestion. Thanks to everybody that donated lemons, diamonds, ninjaginis. Did I get any ninjets? I don't think I did. But in any case, thanks for all the lemons. Thanks to everybody that watched the show. We love you, and I will see you tomorrow. Until then, have a great rest of your evening.